This is episode 204 on April 6th, 2017.
Set your photo apps down, iPhone photographers. It's time for Tiny Shutter Podcast.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Tiny Shutter Podcast, where we talk about iPhone photography and other things. I'm Joseph Ferreira.
And I'm Matt Hoffman.
Welcome back, Matt. How are you doing?
I'm good, Joe. How are you?
I'm doing okay. Actually, I'm the one that came back, but thanks, Mark and Matt, for covering for me last week when I was off to save whatever I was supposed to save. No, I laughed when I heard you guys try to explain what I was doing. I was at work. I had it was my duty week, and I had to go and work overtime. So, but I'm glad I'm done. It's I got four more weeks until I have to pull duty again. It's every 6 weeks, so I count this one as, so it'd be five more weeks. I have, every once in a while I have to work over, but I think I did, including Sunday, I think I did about 67 and a half hours for the week.
No, thank you.
Yeah, I was wiped out. What you been up to, man?
Sadly, not a whole lot. I feel like I just haven't really been making a whole lot of time to take pictures lately, but I did get out this past weekend, there's wildflowers that are starting to pop up here in Ohio, which is cool.
Nice.
So I actually took the opportunity to do a little bit of macro photography, which is our current weekly challenge. That's primarily what I did. Not a whole lot of anything else to speak of, to be honest with you.
Nice. Yeah, I had, let's see here. I got to remind myself, I'm going to look back on my photos, because I know I did some photography. It's just, I'm trying to remember right off the top of my head, but I couldn't. That's right. The weekend before my duty week, we took the kids to Brattonsville in close to Rock Hill, where I live, and they had Children's Day on the farm. And so this is a plantation, sort of similar to what a plantation would be. And they have a lot of animals there that the kids can see, like the 4-H clubs will come and bring some animals. They have volunteers that are a part of the York County Heritage that will dress up in the period and demonstrate what would happen on the plantation or the farm when this would be the, you know, early to mid 18th century. So they actually had one spot where a couple guys were showing kids how they made bricks. And so they would, you know, mix up the mud, throw some straw in there and make bricks. I think they baked them. I'm not sure. And then, of course, the kids always love to have the candle making, so they'll go do the candle making. And there's all sorts of different things to do. I even signed up all four of my kids for the Army, for the Continental Army. My son's like, I don't want to be in the Army. I'm like, you get to hold a gun. Oh, okay.
There you go. Yeah. That'll get them every time.
And I would joke and say, yeah, my youngest, she doesn't know how to spell yet. So she's going to sign her name with X's. And we had a lot of fun. So I took a lot of pictures and got some video. And I'm just really, you know, amazed, having gone from a 16 gig iPhone to a 256 gig, I don't have to worry about storage and, you know, wondering if I'm going to run out of room. So that has been a huge relief and you know, something to take off of my mind when I'm taking pictures. But then also, I just love having the ease of being able to slip my camera into my pocket and not have to worry about it hanging around my neck and doing different things. And, you know, I can, you know, hold my youngest while I take some pictures and do all that. So, but,
Hey, let me ask you real quick with, sure. All the video and stuff that you like to do, are you going to, check out that new app that came out today from Apple called Clips?
Tell me more.
Joe, come on. I can't believe you don't know about this.
I was working today.
It's basically like I know, but it's been being talked about for like a week or two.
Oh, okay.
It is a app for making basically videos to like share with like your friends and family.
Oh, yes, I did see this. Okay.
Yeah. So it's supposed to be like a really like super simple app. There's like not a lot of controls. So there's like no like timeline or anything like that. And you can basically just like you could shoot live video through the app, or you could just add video or photos from your camera roll. And then it lets you you could like adjust the audio, like you could mute the audio from the video, from the actual video.
Okay.
And you could do like, you know, like voiceovers or add like other audio. And then there's like, titles that you could do like kind of like captions or whatever. And then there's also like little effects, like kind of like filters or whatever that you could apply that, you know, make it look like, you know, like faded video from like the 70s or okay. like kind of like a comic book look or, you know, stuff like that. And it's supposed to be like really super simple and easy to use. And then somehow I think it's able to like recognize maybe like people that are in the video, I think. And it like recommends or suggests like people for you to share it with.
Okay.
And then you can, I think you could share the video through like the messages app, or you could put it on like Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, and some other social media sites or whatever.
Okay.
So I just thought it sounded like something to be like right up your alley to play with.
Well, I'll have to downloaded give it a try.
It and checked it out a little bit earlier today.
Uh-huh.
And to be honest with you, like simple video apps are not intuitive to me. Like I felt like a complete idiot because I have no idea how to use it. This is like a little known fact that I don't really talk about much, but I went to school for digital video editing. So like, you know, I know about like Avid and like different programs for, you know, editing video that are like super duper complicated. And, you know, this is not that at all. So I'm just like, there's like no controls. So I'm just like, what do you do? Like, I don't get it. This is not intuitive because there's like nothing on the screen. So there's, I don't know. I got to play with it and figure it out. Maybe I'm sure I'm overthinking it.
Sure. I'm going to download it and try it too. I don't like doing a whole lot of video of myself. I like being on the other side of the lens.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
But I mean, a lot of people are doing like selfie videos with it.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm definitely going to give it a try. I even wonder if you can bring other video in.
Yeah, you can. I said that.
Oh, okay, cool. Bill says that in the chat says it's Snapchat and Instagram rolled into one. And yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how this thing floats.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll be popular. Huh. Well, I don't know. I shouldn't say that. I don't know. Who the heck knows?
Yeah. We'll definitely have to bring this one back up on another show. Well, cool. All right. Let's go ahead and move into our focus point.
focus point.
All right. So, you know, last week we were going to do a show, but I had to call in and say, I got to go to work. But last week's show, Matt and Mark chose macro as to be our weekly photo challenge. And so for 2 weeks, we've already done 1 week. We have one more week left for the challenge. It's going to be focused on macro. So Matt, in his infinite wisdom, knew that macro was coming up. And so today we're going to focus on it. And
what I wouldn't say it's infinite wisdom. There's a limit somewhere.
Don't burst my bubble. So today is a great opportunity for us to look at macro. Now, for a lot of us who either grew up with photography or are educated in photography, macro is not a new subject. But we have a lot of people that are coming into this, and they may have heard of it, but they don't really understand what macro is. So we're going to go ahead and talk about it. And this is sort of our getting back to basics to kind of help everyone understand photography and sort of get a little education out of it. So I pulled up a definition of macro, and I'm going to read it. And this is from the Googles. Macro photography. Photography producing photographs of small items larger than life size. I thought that was a pretty good description. Would you have another description, Matt?
No, I mean, that's mostly accurate. I would say that it's basically, a photograph that produces, a subject size that is basically equal to or greater than life size.
Sure. Absolutely. Yeah. And we're not going to jump into the, measurement of lenses and all that, but we're going to, you know, kind of take something and try to explain it in its simplest form and try to help you to understand, because we have a lot of times we've done in the past where people have done macro and it's not really macro. Yeah, getting real close to something is not macro. And, you know, there are tips and tricks and different lenses that you can use to capture macro. I remember when I got into photography and we were using film or even the early digital DSLRs, digital SLRs, one of the ways that we could achieve macro was to take our lens off and flip it around and to get in real close, because it was using the same lenses that we would use, say, for zooming in on a subject. But when you turned it around, it did not act the same way. But you could get real close to something, like inches away, and all of a sudden it was crystal clear with a very shallow depth of field. And that was how you were able to kind of achieve a macro image. And then there were lenses that came out with macro settings. So if you had a zoom lens and it was a macro lens, you would zoom in all the way, and then you were in the range of being able to capture a macro image. And a lot of times, let me ask you, Matt, what would you, before you got an iPhone, did you do any macro photography?
Yeah, I sure did.
What subjects would you use in your macro photography?
Wow. Mostly the real standard stuff like bugs, flowers, and mushrooms.
Yes. Yeah. See, for me, I would do, you know, insects, some flowers. I would even take, you know, everyday items like pennies, cars, like little toy cars, stuff like that, to zoom in and see the imperfections, to see the scratches, to see the things that you normally don't see with the naked eye, and try to capture those things. For insects, we have some people that take macro images of insects, and they are amazing. The detail, the things that you can't see with your naked eye, that really stick out, shows the beauty of what nature has in store. And so for a lot of people, macro photography is a way to kind of step out and be different in their photography, and take it to a level that inspires others. So, all right. So, Matt, when you, what would kind of give me a setting on what you, where you would go and what you would do to get your macro shots? And let's use some flowers, for example.
Okay. All right. So first off, I just want to touch real quick on you said something earlier about there being a difference between just like taking a picture of something close up and like actual macro photography. So I was going to say that, first of all, like if you've never done macro photography before, to start with close-up photography. And basically, the difference between the two is, especially if you're using, your iPhone or, you know, some other, type of smartphone camera or something like that, close-up photography is basically going to be photographing something as close as the lens on the iPhone will let you focus. And macro photography, to do that properly, you're going to need some sort of accessory lens or perhaps even an app, you know, to help you get that done. But the reason I suggest trying close-up photography first is that you're going to discover that macro photography is actually really hard to do. Yeah. And one of the reasons for that is when it comes to depth of field. When you're that close to your subject, your depth of field becomes really shallow. And basically the closer you are, the shallower the depth of field becomes, and any little movement is going to kind of knock your focus off. So you'll find it really difficult to keep the focus. So, you know, getting as close as you can get with just the iPhone lens on, like, let's say a flower, is a good way to kind of get into macro photography and kind of discover, you know, the shallow depth of field, without it being like too crazy hard to do.
Yeah.
And, you know, you also kind of get, an idea then for like composition, 'cause, it's actually depending on like your subject, it can be pretty tricky to get it right because that depth of field's so shallow. So like sometimes with a flower, it ends up looking kind of messy. Like if you don't get the composition right, you know, because you have maybe a whole bunch of things like the stamen or, you know, like those little things that are like inside the flower, you know, you'll have all these like blurry lines or something if you don't get the focus right. So, it's, I don't know. I think it's better to kind of mess around with some close-up photography first and kind of get the hang of that before diving full on into macro photography.
Sure. It's, it is something that I think, everyone should try. I was just, you know, Warren in the chat mentioned a quick way to be able to have macro photography. And it was one of the first times that I did it with my iPhone, was to take a drop of water on your finger and apply it to the lens of your iPhone. Now be careful with it, but you know, and just have it on the lens. And it was a quick way to kind of see that, macro look. It was very imperfect, but it was something different that you can do. You've done that one before, haven't you?
No, I never have actually.
Really? Okay. Yeah, it is. It's a little tricky because, I think with the newer iPhones, it may work a little bit better, but when I had the 3GS and the 4 and the 4S, you know, the lenses were flush with the case, and the water droplet would tend to run if it was too much. But, you know, that's something you can try and use, because I believe it's the concaved. No. What's the concaved is when it's
convex.
Convex. Okay. The convex of the water droplet allows for you to kind of do some different things. Concave would make it mirrored, or mirrored. So, all right. All right. So, now that you kind of know a little bit about macro photography, let's get into, you know, we said something with the water droplet. Let's get into some accessories that we can use on our iPhone to be able to achieve it. Do you have a macro lens for your iPhone?
Currently, I do not.
Okay. I have the stylus case on my iPhone, and one of the lenses, I believe it's the wide angle lens, comes off, and there is a macro lens. So it kind of takes it takes one of the elements off of the lens to achieve macro. And you can find different lenses for your iPhone, and, you know, and relatively cheap too. But I would recommend, you know, at least having one. I have a couple, and I've had a few. Like, I had an Olaclip. I've had two stylus macro lenses, but there, I think there are maybe some clip-on ones that will be probably beneficial, because you can use it with whatever variation of iPhone that you get. You know, the ones I got were pretty much one-trick ponies. Once I upgraded my phone, they no longer were applicable to me, and that can get real expensive real fast. And next thing you know, it's sitting there collecting dust. Except I still have my iPhone 4S, and I have an Olaclip case, and I can take my Olaclip and put it on there and have a dedicated macro camera sitting, you know, there next to the rest of my equipment. So there's pluses and minuses when you go to try to purchase a macro lens.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of different options out there, but almost any like lens kit that has like the wide angle and maybe like a fisheye or a telephoto lens, almost every single one of those, you could unscrew the front element on the wide angle lens and you'll end up with a macro.
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
There's even, I don't know if you remember that one. It was basically almost like a rubber band with like a little lens in it. And you basically just stretched it like around your phone and positioned the little lens over your iPhone lens. And it was, I don't know where you got it. It was like on Photo JoJo or something.
Yeah. That's like a one size fits all.
Yeah. I think Mark might've gotten one, or somebody that we knew did.
Yeah, That oh gosh, yeah. There, yeah. You're gonna find all sorts of different variations, and it's almost hard to say until you actually purchase one, you know, whether you'll like it or not. But I know for me, out of all of the lenses that I have, typically between the wide angle, the fisheye, well, definitely the fisheye, but the wide angle and the macro has pretty much been my favorite. It's hard to mess up a macro lens. Whereas wide angles, you tend to get chromatic aberrations, these things that happen to your images that are, you know, slight imperfections that if you're a pixel peeper would drive you absolutely bonkers. Macro tends to be pretty straightforward. So it's, I would say it is an easy bet that whatever macro lens you end up purchasing, you're probably going to be happy with. But make sure you read reviews before you purchase them, because as far as the industry is concerned, photographers are probably the most vocal and the most critical out there when it comes to reviews on specific things. So I would say that the reviews would be a very good guideline on your purchase. So,
yeah, and you definitely don't have to spend a lot. Like, for instance, today's post pick of the week will be a good inspiration and show you guys that you really don't have to spend big bucks on a macro lens to get just absolutely amazing results.
No, absolutely not. And I'm kind of jealous too, you know. But all right. Well, is there anything else that you wanted to mention about macro?
Yeah, a handful of things.
Okay,
yeah,
go for it.
Yeah. So you know, talking about accessories, you know, really to do it well, you know, a macro lens that you can attach to your iPhone is kind of essential. I mentioned earlier that possibly you could do it with an app. Like, for instance, the app Camera Plus has a macro mode, and it works fairly well. That's pretty much what I use for all my macro stuff right now, because it's just like one less lens I need to carry around, and I just think it works good enough for me. But earlier when I was talking about like macro compared to close-up photography, and I was mentioning the depth of field and how shallow it is, I think that this type of photography really lends itself well to having a tripod.
Yeah.
And you know, again, it doesn't have to be anything fancy, just like a small little like tabletop tripod, or you know, a tiny little GorillaPod or something. Joby works really well. Yeah, Joby GorillaPod. And then also, you know, a little like remote trigger.
Yep.
You know, like one of those little Bluetooth triggers, or even just using the self timer, you know, like a 5 or 10 second timer in your camera app. That really goes a long way, because you don't want to have any like shake when you take the picture, because it will be super noticeable since you're focusing so close. And then another thing that I think is good to do is, if possible, if the camera app that you're using will allow it and you're comfortable doing this, try to use like a manual mode, especially for focus. What you're going to want to basically set your focus very deliberately and lock that focus in place.
Yeah, absolutely. You know,
yeah, so that's really important to do as well. And then one other aspect with macro photography that we really didn't touch on at all yet is lighting.
Yes.
So macro photography really lends itself to soft, almost even light. Yeah, it's usually not a type of photography. I think it kind of depends on your subject a little bit, but it usually, when you're looking at, you know, examples of macro photography, like on Instagram or, you know, wherever online or something, you'll kind of notice that there's not really a lot of like really hard contrast in most macro shots.
Yeah.
I think some of that too has to do with the subject matter. Like when you're photographing flowers, you know, you want it to come across as this nice, beautiful, soft, you know, thing, not, you know, this hard, you know, grungy thing with crazy contrast or whatever.
Yeah.
But even like insects and stuff, you know, the whole point is to see the detail. So if you're having these hard shadows, you know, it's kind of missing the point a little bit. So like, you know, if you're inside, you know, maybe try to take the photos near like a window, you know, if you have like a north facing window in your house, that will usually provide you with some nice, soft, even light. Or, you know, if you're taking the pictures outside, if you could do it in the shade, or if it's an overcast day, that works really well. So that, you know, try to have some nice, like kind of even light, not like harsh sunlight or, you know, like a flashlight beam just shining, you know, on one spot of whatever you're photographing.
Yeah. You mentioned something about using the autofocus, auto exposure lock. One of the first things that I did when we had that locking capability, but weren't able to adjust it up or down depending on what we were doing, I made some gray cards, and would set my subject on the gray card, and then I would lock in the focus and the exposure, having that gray card as the background. And so what that did was, if you set like a subject, say you took a picture of a penny and you put it on a really dark table and you go to get the exposure, it would be so bright that you would lose a lot of your highlight details. And then, so you have to try to adjust it down and, you know, you can fight, you know, a battle, and vice versa. If you had like a white piece of paper, it would make it really dark. And so having a 18% gray, a middle gray, background, does two things. It allows you to get the correct, color temperature and exposure for your subject. And with your subject being on that gray card, you can set your focus. And then all you have to do is remove that gray card, and you could have it on a white surface or a dark surface, and it won't change. It'll stay the way you set it. And so I highly recommend looking into a gray card, or do what I did is I went to the store, got some paint that was very, close to the 18% gray. Cause I had a Kodak gray card set that I got when I went through my class on photography, and they were not cheap. They were very expensive, at least for me at the time. Cause I was, I was poor. but I took some painter's canvas, like 5x7 and 8x10, and I painted them gray, and then I put like a dark line so that I could have something to contrast against. It's a little different now. When you take your phone, you can set the exposure, but you can, you know, you can go up or down on the exposure and change it. And then the focus is a little bit different, because you can't really adjust the focus unless you're using an app like 645 Pro or PureShot or Camera Plus that gives you some sort of a manual control. So when you go to capture your image, you know, you have to find a way to get your exposure and your color temperature and your focus all in one. And so a gray card would probably be something you want to look into.
Yeah, it's something I always forget to use.
Yeah. I haven't talked about gray cards in a long time. That used to be one of my favorite subjects.
Really, honestly, it feels like yesterday that you were talking about them.
Yeah. Oh, cool. All right. Do you have anything else on macro photography?
I think we covered most of the major points on that.
Yeah. It's macro is one of those things that one of those genres of photography that you can do almost anywhere. You don't have to have a studio. You don't have to be in a certain part of the world or in a particular country. Macro photography is anywhere and everywhere. And there are a lot of photographers that we admire that they tend to do it all the time. This is something I think that you will be able to add to your arsenal of talents and be able to improve on your photography. And who knows, you may end up doing it, you know, full time, or you may do it once and say, I did it once. You know, that's why we have different genres. We have different things that different, you know, people like to do. Matt loves landscaping. You know, I love car photography. You know,
it's, no, I don't like landscaping.
Yeah, you like to shoot landscapes. Yeah, I don't like landscaping either. Landscapes are okay for me, but I'm not as excited about them, say, as Mark or Matt are, you know, when it comes to photography. So everyone is different, and it's a good thing, because with diversity comes a lot of wonderful images. If everybody did the same thing, it'd be boring. And to be honest, it would probably ruin photography. So, all right. Well, let's go ahead, and we're going to move into our weekly photo challenge.
Post pick of the week.
And actually, I kind of said weekly photo challenge, but our post pick of the week, and it is Matt's turn, and he will explain what we're doing.
Okay. Well, since the weekly photo challenge is still going on for another week, and the challenge is macro. So this week I will pick an image from Instagram with the hashtag #TinyShutter. And actually, I'm picking a macro image because I figured it might serve as a little bit of inspiration or example, you know, for the next week or whatever. And this photo is from Instagram user. Their Instagram name is Itha_Mar. And the photo that I picked is a dandelion seed that is sitting on top of some blue jeans. Yeah. And in this photo, you'll really see what I'm talking about with that shallow depth of field. I mean, we're talking like, you know, fractions of an inch of the space that's in focus. You know, it's a very small amount of the
image fractions that's in focus. Of millimeters.
Yeah, maybe even that. Yeah. Well, maybe not fractions of millimeters. There's probably several millimeters.
Yeah, there you go. Sorry.
Yeah. But in any case, I like this image for a handful of reasons. One, I think it probably took, you know, some skill to just get the picture as sharp as she got it. You know, I don't know if she used a tripod or, you know, maybe she had to take 10 photos just to get this one, you know, that was reasonably sharp. But the seed itself is like really sharp. And then a lot of the little hairs that come off are pretty sharp. But the further they get like away from the lens and towards the background, the more they kind of blur out. Yeah. But it still looks pretty cool. And then the other thing that I like too is that the seed is kind of like this orangey yellow color, and it's like really the perfect like complementary color to the blue jeans. Yes. And to top it off, you could also see the like the individual threads of the blue jean fabric.
Yeah.
Which is just, you know, totally amazing. So, yeah, this is like a super macro. I think it's a really good example. And we'll have, I think, a link in the show notes, possibly to her Instagram. You really should check out this person's Instagram feed. She does pretty much all macro photography, and it will knock your socks off.
Yes, I'll have a link to her Instagram account, and then there's one other thing that you wanted to, I think, mention too, correct?
Oh yeah, and then we'll also have a link. She did an interview with the website Photo Jojo. They basically do like these inspirational, you know, interviews with, you know, like photographers that are doing amazing stuff or whatever. And I think one of the reasons that they interviewed her, aside from the fact that her macro photography is just really, really stunning, is the fact that she does a lot of this with a lens kit that you could buy on Photo Jojo. It's called the Iris lens kit, and it's basically just like a wide angle macro and fisheye lens. It costs $69.99 on Photo Jojo. So the article itself is kind of a plug for these lenses, like I just did.
Yeah.
But in any case, it's still a pretty good little interview, and I just think her work is really awesome.
Yeah.
So
we have some of her images have been our post pick of the week in the past. And, you know, when you scroll through and look at them, you know, you can see what macro, powerful macro can be, because not only do colors come to life, but like I said before, the things that you don't see with your naked eye, come to the forefront and become a landscape in and of themselves. And it's almost like you're diving into another world. And her images are beautiful. The insects, the flowers, all the different parts of nature that that you can see are just beautiful. Even water droplets. I mean, water, for instance, dew, whatever, you know, whatever it could be, just with macro, it becomes a different world. And so, and the, one of the nice things about macro, like we said before, is that the shallow depth of field adds an artistic element to the image. And it makes you use your imagination on what is out there. And with something that is in focus and something that's out of focus, it creates that tension, that thing that grabs you, that makes your eye look in that direction and becomes the focal point of the image. So, good deal. Congratulations, Ithalu. You are our post pick of the week. And we are still doing macro for our weekly photo challenge. And if you want to participate with our weekly photo challenge, join us on Facebook. Go on to Facebook and look for our pinned post. It is always at the top of the page. And if you want to add an image, please go in there and put it in the comment section. Add your image, but also write a little bit of how you got the image. What did you use? Where it was taken? Anything like that that would, you know, help people to understand where you got the image. And it adds a lot of inspiration for others when they look at your image. And so go on to Facebook if you haven't and join us there. All right. Well, Matt, is there anything else that you wanted to bring up?
No, not this week.
Okay. Well, I think we have ourselves a show. So let me go ahead and find my mouse and play this.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
All right, Matt, why don't you tell everybody where they can find you?
All right. You can check me out on Instagram, Twitter, and I am at mhoffmanphoto.
Excellent. You can find me on Instagram at Joseph Ferreira. You can find the show, links to our Facebook group, YouTube channel, and other things by going to tinyshutter.com. And I wanted to thank Mark for stepping in last week and recording the show and being there, because, you know, typically if what happens is if one of us can't be there and there isn't anybody to fill in, we miss a week. And one of the things that Matt and I have tried to do is not do that. So having Mark come on and do that, it was a huge help. Plus it was funny. I really cracked up when I was listening to the show. Yeah. You guys are funny.
Yes, we are. We're like a comedy team.
Yeah. Oh, yes. So, all right. Yeah, go to tinyshutter.com. Join us on Facebook. Check out the YouTube channel. Tell everybody you know about Tiny Shutter. And, you know, go out there and take some pictures. And I can't wait to see what you guys have. So... All right, Matt, why don't you say goodbye to everybody?
All right, everybody, bye-bye.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this podcast, head over to iTunes and leave us a review and a 5-star rating. See you next week.
Everything's perfectly all right now. We're fine. We're all fine here now. Thank you. How are you?
Kowalski, what's our trajectory?
95% certain this will end in massive, flaming disaster.
And the other 5%?
Irrelevant, sir.
Your behavior is completely inappropriate.